I remember when I used to have a dog. I used to go out at night and on the estate where I live in Glenmire in Ireland. Come on. And I'm with a dog at the moment. That's what this whole audio is going to be about, walking a dog. But I used to go out at night with the dog and do free association, empty my mind late in the evening, just while walking with the dog. And it was one of the lovely periods in my life. The dog as companion was fantastic. It gave me the impetus to do it, and I kept up the habit once it had gotten formed. And out of it came a whole lot of audios that some people used to like, and I used to love making them. And then tragedy, which I won't go into, struck, if you like. And we no longer have a dog. But this weekend in May, we have been lent a dog. We've been lent a very special dog. He's very young. He's only 6 months old. Come on. Come on, Casper. His name is Casper. He is what's called an assistance dog. He's from an organization called AADI. That is Autism Assistance Dogs Ireland. Autism Assistance Dogs Ireland. Which explains itself in a kind of a way, in that the dog will eventually go to a family that have a child with autism and will be a companion dog for that family and that child in particular. And there are a number of organisations doing this, having assistance dogs for, I mean, we're all used to assistance dogs for the blind, you know, guide dogs. And, come on, Casper. Stop looking at the neighbours. Good morning. Good morning. A little bit wet, but well. Anyway, it's raining, yeah. So, Casper, anyway, 6 months old. He's a lab, Labrador. I don't know if he's crossed with anything. I don't think so. And he has all the characteristics of a young child, really. You know, he's quite hard to get to do things, but he is, you can tell even at this stage that he's going to be a trainable dog, really. But that I'm just speaking about how lovely it is to come out of the house with him, walk with him, and how much I wish, you know, if all the rest of the world were organized in a particular way, how much I wish we had a dog with whom I could go walking frequently. Come on, you silly mutt. The best assistance dog we ever had was the very first one. He was trained to such an extraordinary degree that, for example, he did not put his nose down in places that smelled nice as he walked past. He did not do anything except walk with you. And he was so totally relaxed that, you know, it was uncanny. I mean, I couldn't believe that any dog could be so well trained. And, you know, it made me realize that our own dog, Rocky, you know, had been so poorly trained in comparison that, you know, really and truly, we hadn't been really fit to have a dog when you saw that how well this dog had been trained. But Vegas was a year and a half old. So this guy, Casper, is 6 months old. And the good thing about him is, you know, he doesn't pull. He doesn't pull. I'm walking along here. Got him in my left hand. He's got his little assistance jacket on him so people can see he's an assistance dog. Although we're just walking around our estate. But he is curious as hell. He is absolutely, you know, nose down as much as he can. The good thing about him is that he has been trained out of the habit, I think, of going cocking his leg on lampposts. Rocky used to cock his leg everywhere he went, and I didn't realise what a bad habit this actually was. The idea of taking a dog for a walk and him feeling a compulsive need to mark his territory everywhere obviously shows some kind of an inadequacy, you know, or a lack of self-confidence in the dog, that he desperately needs to mark territory everywhere. I remember Vegas never needed to do that at all. Vegas was just a strong dog, a calm, strong, completely. It's as if he'd been to therapy for a year and, you know, had all his neuroses sorted out. Come on. Now, you hear little dogs barking, but you are not... Oh, that's a Jack Russell. Now, okay, I like a particular Jack Russell. My friend Roger Overall has a Jack Russell, but all other Jack Russells, with the exception of Roger Overall's Jack Russell, and I don't like at all. I think they're little yappy things, and they don't suit my personality that well at all. And they seem to have a huge need to get noticed. But anyway, this fella here is a wrecker. You know, he's done a few things in the house. Not a big deal, like he hasn't chewed the leg off, you know, a leg off something so that we have to buy a new piece of furniture. As somebody I know told me they had a dog that did that. But, and he doesn't pull me. But he's willful, right? He's willful, and he's not paying a lot of attention to my needs. And Vegas was. Come on, Casper. They're normal people getting out of a car. Come on. Hello, I'm fine. The dog is just fascinated by you. I'm not sure if he's a BMW dog or whether he's a dog who likes green or he smells the dog inside. But come on, he's only 6 months old though, and he's not yet well trained. So yeah, so what would you say? He's walking along here looking at the little yellow jigger there that a kid has. Here's another one of my neighbours who works for a company, parcelshop.ie, Parcel Logistics and Express. And, you know, there's the good old... I remember the days when I used to walk along just naming things I could name and realising things I couldn't tell. What was the difference between a Hebe and a something else, you know? Oh, Coryopteris, I think it was. But then again, you know, I'm no good at naming. Hello, good morning. Good morning. Come on, Rocky, that's a VW. You don't want to be paying any attention to VWs. Come on, I called him Rocky there, you see. I mean, that dog was such a dog I loved, really. You know, and I haven't been able to really share on audio or with anyone, really, other than the family, what I feel about the loss of that dog. But I think some things are actually best not expressed fully, you know. Someday I will, but I don't want to bleed all over the estate, you know. But anyway, here we are. We're going around a corner here and wandering on past the Hyundai. And on the left-hand side is a Peugeot. You know, yeah, I'm not a car guy at all, but why not? Some of you might be, and you might be interested in, you know, the fact that there's a ZX. Yeah, Ford Focus ZX there. And that's a Honda there. There's a Honda. And there's a Nissan. And I don't know, what is the point of naming names? But it's good fun. Anyway, there's a Suzuki, right? An SX4. Oh, there's the old C220 CDI Merc. And next to it is a Fiesta ZX. And next to that, a Citroën C4 and a Focus LX. And now you're getting really bored and you're wondering, am I going to do anything else other than this? But here's a van and it says Health and Fitness Boutique, Leslie Quinn Personal Trainer, all in pink. Weight loss and toning, fitness plans, bride-to-be. Oh my God, bride-to-be. They need personal training, pre and postnatal, boot camp classes. And then you can find them on Facebook. And then you can find it. The mobile number is here and the email is here. Well, I must say that if you want to get in touch with Leslie Quinn Personal Trainer on this estate, she has a van to help you get in touch with. Is that... No, that's not a Lexus. I'm not the greatest person on the old thing. There's another Hyundai. I remember the Hyundai or Toyota, right? Toyota Corolla. I remember when they came out first. And there is a skateboard. There is a skateboard. Wonderful. The skateboard's alongside a 520 ID. Yeah. No, D. Diesel car, I suppose. But it's a 2008 BMW. Come on, Casper. Keep going. Look, this is the great thing. It's raining, by the way. There's my good neighbour. There's another neighbour. They're all neighbours. A Lexus and a Mini Cooper in the same house. I mean, okay, this is a well-to-do middle-class area, you know. Anyone who has a Lexus or lives next to door to someone with a Lexus. They're a Vectra, the good old Opel Vectra. I have one of those. I have an older one. I have a 2004 Opel Vectra in my driveway. In fact, it's the thing I drive around the place. Kind of think to myself, is driving a battered old car. I mean, you have to be consistent, you know. So my next car has to... I'll have to batter it if I get it. There's another Hyundai. You know, what's missing on this estate, actually? There's a Focus Ford. There's a Corsa. A Corsa. An Almera. A Nissan Almera. Right, and there is a skip from Ashgrove. Yeah, somebody here has got a skip with a load of rubbish in it and stuff like that. It's full, so you can't go running around the estate deciding whose skip has got room in it. There's a RAV4. I don't know who makes that. I wouldn't know that at all. There's anyway. A Nissan. Come on, you silly old thing. Qashqai. Yeah, Qashqai. I love, actually, that word, Qashqai. Mainly, I suppose, because I think it has cash and kai, and they're almost like two separate syllabled words. But, you know, they're spelt in such a way that I wouldn't be able to spell it without checking it. Good old Fiat and the good old Nissan. Now, there's a year 2000 Nissan. I mean, old car. Hang on. We've beaten that. 1996. There's a 1996 Toyota, I think. I think that's the Toyota symbol. Damn good nick, I have to say. Bodywork looks pretty well perfect. Somebody keeps their car well. Yeah, it is the Toyota Carina. Fiat Megane. Oh, and dogs. Oh, yes. Well, okay, Casper, I'm going to stop while you listen. While you listen, I'll check to see if my iPhone in my pocket is still recording. This has happened to me before, you know. You'd be in the middle of recording something. You then discover that everything you said has not been recorded at all. In fact, we got 12 minutes of recording completed. Oh, an Audi. The four rings of the Audi. The Audi A4, a Mazda 2. And shut up, there's a 1997. Hang on, there's a 1997. That seems to be the youngest one, the oldest one on the estate, from Kerry. 97KY, because that's the way they do it in Ireland, you know. The first thing you have nowadays is the first two numbers. Oh, there's a snail. Yeah, Casper is now inspecting a snail. The snail has got halfway across the pavement here, getting his nose right down onto the snail. Somebody told me yesterday that there's... Oh, he's getting the right paw and pushing the snail. You know, he's a young guy. He probably doesn't realise that snails... Actually, since humans eat snails, why shouldn't a dog eat a snail? Giving it a push, pushing the snail along with... Oh, the left paw is coming into it now. The nose is pushing down and he's had enough. Right. So that's it. You know what? After that wonderful series of audio pieces published over on Audio Boo about butterflies and a family having, you know, looking after, looking over, watching the, if you like, the inaugural flight of butterflies as they get ready. Anyway, to join the outside world from the inside of their bell jar, if you like. I'm being metaphoric rather than specific, but there really was a whole collection of butterflies that... Jana, JN2N, if you're interested in Audio Boo, to find her, or even on Twitter, at JN2N. But a mother, describing in great detail, sufficient detail to make it absolutely attractive, living with butterflies and her two children and the lead up to it. So that made me realise the power of audio to do with nature and looking after little creatures. So that connects in my mind in some weird way with snails and the fact that somebody told me that somebody in Ireland has set up a snail farm. Now, we all know l'escargot, the French snails and the delicacy and all that. You know, you feed them a load of herbs and you feed them garlic and they... They're delicious for those who love them, and they're horrific for those who don't. But anyway, the point about this is that the snail that Casper was inspecting, I never realised that, you know, there's no reason why a dog shouldn't eat a snail, is there? Those of you who know your canine habits would be able to tell me, what is it that determines the feeding habits of a dog? I mean, the person who looks after this dog every day of the week at present, and who's on a kind of respite weekend, first one in yonks, I think, told me that she gives Casper bananas. Now, I was shocked. I thought, giving a dog banana is not really what you do. Oh, more dogs. More yappies. Oh, this is Bichon Frises. This is, I think there might be more than one. Oh, just to be fully natural, a magpie has just hopped along the adjoining wall. Let's have a look here, Casper. Haven't seen, yes, the magpie is flying. The magpie, two magpies. Aha, one for sorrow, two for joy. Three for a girl, four for a boy. Five for silver, six for gold. And seven for a story that will never be told. Seven magpies, eh? I haven't seen seven magpies. Come on, you. Look here, you. Look, you're not the boss, you know? You are a pack dog. I am the boss. And you are going to do what your beloved master wants you to do. Because you want to be loved. Isn't that right, Casper? I read that in a book and I followed that philosophy ever since I read that book. Having followed the opposite of it before that. The way to get a dog to love you is to be strong and firm. And the dog will look up to you as the pack leader and will do what you want. But you have to systematically ignore the dog on everything that the dog does that you don't want the dog to do. Quite a demanding thing, really. It allows for no sentimentality. I suppose there is no sentimentality in the wild. You know, wild dogs and wild wolves and all that kind of thing. There's no sentiment, is there, in the pack? You know, what about Shere Khan? There was no sentiment in Shere Khan. Isn't that our good man from northern India? Kipling. Not his writing. Jungle Book, Shere Khan. I think so, anyway. So here we go. On the way home. This is there never were rambly boos on audio boo when I was young enough to walk a dog on the estate here regularly. It would have been a good old term, because walking the dog was the hashtag that I got into using. But that was at night, you know, when you're getting ready for sleep. Bit of exercise, last bit of exercise. But the main exercise was to empty the mind, really. And I don't think this is really... I'm not on a mission to empty my mind at the moment altogether. I'm merely on a mission to give the dog a bit of exercise and give myself a bit of exercise. You see, that's the other thing. The reason to have a dog is to, you know, get help for yourself. I mean, let's be totally honest with each other, right? Excuse the word totally. It was superfluous and extraneous. And there's my neighbour in her Golf, year 2000 Golf. She just waved to me in the time-honoured Irish fashion and carried on her way down to... Actually, I think she's number 17. Never mind. Come in number one. Anyone remember the programme on television? Where number one was important, back in a long time ago, set in North Wales in a very special, you'd think it was very mysterious, hard to understand, very Kafka-esque in its storyline, you know, what was really going on. Anyway, that's another story. That's a wonderful place whose name escapes me. They make pottery there now. So walking the dog, I've lost the train of my thought now. Just to say that walking along... Yes, the selfish thing about dogs is that we need them for our own health. We humans need dogs for our health. Once upon a time, we needed them to feed us because they were, you know, bred in captivity to go and catch. This guy... Casper, why are you so awkward? Why are you resisting? Come on. I'm not going to bribe you. You're going to bend to my will. Come on. You're walking. Yeah, I could easily get him to follow me by giving him